And you're welcome to Racing Only Better ahead of day one at York this week. We're here to mark your card as best we can. Don't listen to me, listen to the experts in the form of Mr. Kevin Blake. How are you, Kev?
Hello, great you. Great to have York back. I love York.
Racing. Do you love York? Why do you love York, Kevin?
I tell you, genuinely fantastic place to go racing. One of my favourite race courses anywhere on this whole planet, it's a big old planet.
Yeah, it is. Well, I tell you, I've never been. I'd love to go. Tony Calvin, do you love York as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like it. You sound like it.
Wow. Well, it's best known. It's best known in this country for 25 quid bottles of champagne, isn't it? So, what's not to like?
Very good. I like Yorkies myself, Dan. That's a bit as close as I get to York, basically. Yorkie bars. What about you? Are you a fan?
Yeah, massively. What of Yorkies? Yeah, massively. To be honest, I think a lot of people would go racing anyway, wouldn't they? If it was in the back garden, they'd go at the minute. I think people are desperate to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll kick off, gentlemen, if we can, with the first in the card we're going to talk about. It's the 140, the Skybet race to the Ebor. Jorvik Handicap Stakes. It's over a mile, Class 2 race. Illarab is your 4-1 favourite at the time of recording. My Frankel 9-2. Thronehall 6-1. Shandoz for Roger Varian at 7-1. And he can have 8-1 bar. Bit of a word of caution. The weather forecast is horrific over the next couple of days. They're expecting 10 to 15 mils of rain at the course, which will influence our decisions, Kevin, our selections. Who do you like in our first race?
Yeah, for sure, Hugh. I'd say we should be working on the basis of at least good to soft, if not soft ground. The rain that has been dumped on beautiful gold in the last hours is heading up in that York direction, so it will arrive at some stage, I'd say. And so I'd be going on the basis of soft or good to soft. This is a proper race, this one, in fairness. There's some really unexposed progressive horses here. It looks a right one. And I've gone for the one with all the ones beside its name, Hugh.
Illarab.
I really like this horse at the back end of last season. He's just what you want, really. He got loads of ones beside his name, but he's never won by more than 3/4 of a length, and has been edging up away the weights without going up drastic amounts. And his last win came over this track over a very similar trip, and I thought he did well on the day. He kind of got messed about at the start and ended up well back, and had to kind of be asked for his effort early enough, and just made his way into the race quite nicely and ultimately won quite well. That was a decent race. He's gone up, he's £7 higher here. Stepping up the furlong and a half or so is going to help him, you'd imagine. He's shown that he handles soft ground there. You're taking his fitness on trust, but sure, William Haggis, look, has been banging in the winners from the start of the turf, and team seems to be in great form, and they're not lacking for fitness on the return, it seems. So in a less competitive heat, a horse with his profile would be an even shorter price than he is now, but this is fiercely competitive, and that's why he's kind of a 4-1 shot, despite his quite attractive profile.
Okay, very good. So that's quite a strong first shout for our first favourite on the card. Would you agree with that, Tony Calvin, or are you looking for something at a little bit of a bigger price, as is your want?
Yeah, the first four in the market pretty much pick themselves here, the likes of Fry, My Frankel and Illarab, etc. So I look for something double figure price. The sportsbook are playing five places, so that's a decent angle, each way angle into the race. And the two I landed on were Strait of Hormuz and Sam Cook, and I've gone with the latter. Sam Cook, who's a 12-1 with the sportsbook. You probably get bigger win only on the exchange, but I think five places is probably the way to play this race. This horse looked very good when winning here, and his final start at 2, and then went and gagged up at Chester on his first start at 3 in soft ground. So, any rain won't be a problem there. But he wasn't seen again for ages afterwards, and had a look around, and it seems like he broke a cannon bone when winning that race at Chester. So he's only raced 4 times since, but I think he's still a very well handicapped horse. He just got touched off a £2 higher mark than this, where the third world clear at Ascot last season. And I just think with a horse of this kind of profile, you need, I think they're going to have him pretty straight first time up, because you don't want to be running these kind of horses with injury problems half-cocked. Now, he did disappoint to a degree first time up last season, but that was over a mile 6, and he raced wide of all on the July course there. So that was no help to him at all. He actually traded 4-6 in running that day. So I still think he's a well handicapped horse, a nightly race horse off 94. I expect him to be fit enough here. I think he has his ideal conditions. It may well be that one or two of these have got more than him in the tank handicap-wise, but Sam Cook each way, five places to me, looks a very fair bet at 12s.
Okay, lovely. Last word to you, Danzo.
He might be the sole singer of Sam Cook's praises. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Very bad gag. But I'm with him as well. He's going to... You've got a lot of unexposed, that awful word that we dug up last time, sexy horses towards the head of the market. It won't be missed. He's not of that standing, really, but he's got lots of form in the mud. And I know he started to look a bit of a weak finisher, but I think getting him back fresh off a 5-month layoff might be the thing to sort him out. And he's still rated in the 90s, and you wouldn't have expected that on the back of that Chester performance of a couple of years ago when he looked like a group horse in the making. So I'm willing to chance him first time back under conditions that suit. And my other dart at the race is a similar profile in some ways, maybe a bit to prove, but potentially well handicapped on his best form, and that's Raymond Tusk, who was 6th in a November handicap on soft ground off a mark of 108. That was little more than 5 months ago, and he now finds himself down to a mark of 99. He's had two spins for Alan King in totally different races at smallish fields that probably wouldn't suit him, and last time he was running against Sir Ron Priestley anyway at Nottingham, so he probably had no chance against that rival. I think he'll be better here, back in a big field handicap, and I thought he was too big a price at the moment and too temptingly well handicapped to leave him out. So smallish stakes in a hot race, I'll be back in those two.
Lovely. Okay, great. Good stuff, lads. Excuse me if you can hear a dog barking in the background. By the way, that's my dog, Freddy, so apologies about that if you could pick it up. Let's move on to our next race then. Second on the card, it's the 210, the Churchill. Speaking of dogs, the Churchill Drivers Handicap Stakes.
What do you mean you couldn't make it up? A dog barking? God, dear me, that was hardly a 1,000 poke, was it?
Well, in fairness, I didn't have him outside for the last half an hour, but he's been trying. Anyway,
if it was one of these goldfishes meowing, I could accept your surprise, but come on.
It's a short price favour for me, anyway. Right, the 210, the Churchill Drives Handicap Stakes. It's class 2 over 6 furlongs. Bielsa. For Kevin Ryan and Sylvester D'Souza is your 13-2 favourite. Wide open race this one, as most 6 furlong handicaps are. Aberama Gold at 8-1. You've got Danzino at 10-1 for Michael Appleby. You've got Rulston Scar at 10-1. Mr. Lupton 10-1. You can make a case for an awful lot of these TCs. Right up your street, 6 furlong handicap. Give us something at 50-1 that's going to romp home, please.
I'm trying to wean myself off these sprint handicaps because it is kind of like whose turn is it anyway job, isn't it? And I came down before I saw the prices. I came down on the side of Bielsa, which I was quite disappointing to see the sports book put him in at 13-2. But, you know, you can see why they're trying to duck him to a certain degree. If the rain comes, it's going to be massively in his favour. He's got decent course form. A decent comeback run where, although he was beaten at 5-4, he travelled well and he looked the winner for a lot of the way. So maybe he needed to run a bit there, or maybe they just thought he wasn't putting it all in because they've stuck first-time cheap pieces on him. But for a 6-year-old sprint handicapper, he's got very few miles on the clock. And I think he'll have his conditions here as well. So I'm probably leaning towards leaving the race alone because Bielsa's a shorter price than I was expecting at 13-2. But I think he's the most likely winner, and I think the sportsbook are right to make him fav.
Well, I tell you what, he's a big old price for me. So 13-2, I tell you, I'd be tempted in.
2-13 is a big price for you.
Correct. Yeah, 5 places on the Betfair Sportsbook as well, as was the opening race as well. So plenty of each way value here. Dan Barber, if you were so minded, have you got a big one for us?
I am so minded. That extra place is... It's not the clincher, but it definitely helps. I like Mr. Lupton. I think he's been primed for a return to big field handicap company. Bear in mind his record of last season, won that race over in Ireland in good style. And then he went and finished under a week later. He was placed in the Air Gold Cup of higher marks. I don't think he's had the gun put to his head in 2 starts back this season. He ran in that Donny Listed race, won by James Tate's horse, and wasn't given a hard time. And then it was a similar story behind the reopposing Staxton at Ripon last time. Smallish field, he was out in the middle, wasn't unduly knocked about. I think they've probably had this race in mind from the start. The handicap has shown him some leniency. He's down a couple more. He's down to 101 now. And he's just a hard-knocking, durable, veteran of these sorts of races, and I think he's primed to run a smasher. Admittedly, it's a funny old race because there isn't widespread pace, and you can't even isolate it to one side or the other, I don't think. There aren't loads of these that are out-and-out front runners. And doing some historical digging, most horses have been drawn low that have won this race, but there have been bags as well who've been placed from high stalls. So it's probably just going to be a fair split, hopefully, in which case I'm not that concerned about 15 for Mr. Lupton, and I'm pretty sure he'll be in the first handful.
I'm looking down at the betting here. There's a horse running called Richard Fahey's actually second string. Brian the Snail at 14-1. I mean, if you're going to name a horse, Brian the Snail, Kevin, wouldn't be up there for me if you're going to try and name a horse that you want to go and win races. But anyway, who do you like in this one, Kev?
I went on my travels looking for the winner here, Hugh, and I came down on my old pal Gulliver. I think he's a horse that likes York even more than me. He's running six big competitive sprint handicaps there, and he's won three of them. Two of them were on soft ground. You know, a 50% strike rate in this type of race at any track is some going now. But he's absolutely blobbed the three times he didn't win, but that's just his nature, I think. And, you know, the British handicapper, sprint handicapper especially, he's just so quick to drop these horses. Like this fella ran an absolute stormer there to finish second at Kempton back in January. He's run four times since, and he's gone down a total of 9 pounds. He's back down to a mark of 100. His lowest mark in ages, in like a year and a half, despite like not running too badly, and getting back on the turf would be no harm at all. And he just seems to really like York. He's back down to the sort of mark that he tends to win these races off. He's drawn 18. Like Dan, I was looking back in previous renewals and this, and I was kind of confining myself to the ones where the ground was softer than good, and they seem to more often than not come up middle to near side. So I think 18 might just be fine for him. And look, he's about a 10-1 shot, something like that. And such is his nature, he'll either run well or blob, but he seems to have a particular liking for this place, and seems to operate well when there's a good bit of juice in the ground here. So, you know, we know York's kind of can be a slightly funny surface, and he seems to enjoy it. So I'll take my chance with Gulliver.
Okay, Gulliver. All right, good stuff, lads. We'll move swiftly on. The 240 is the Duke of York Clipper Logistics Stakes, Group 2, 6 furlongs. Oxted is your 3-1 favourite for Roger Teal. You got Art Power in there at 7-2, Starman 4-1, Molotham at 8-1, and it's 10-1 bar. Okay, you can kick us off, Dan, please, on this one. Who do you like? Again, you can make a case for a few of these. Who do you like, please?
Oh, you can. I mean, Oxted's got the best form. There's little doubt about that. But whether he can reproduce it is a question mark. See what TC's gleaned from Ryan. Starman has looked very promising last season. I thought he looked a group horse as he climbed the ranks. But for me, I cannot have a race go by on softish ground, probably going to be soft ground, involving Art Power that isn't a group one and not back him. I think he's possibly the best group two level sprinter around. And I think he will develop into a genuine group one sprinter this season. He's got penalties, of course. Well, he's only got one penalty, hasn't he, for his successes last season. And that's not really putting me off, actually. I just think he's a very, very good sprinter who's very effective in the mud. He's shown that he's very effective fresh too. And when you've got doubts about Oxted, and I think you have to have them, see what TC fills us in with there. Yeah, it's just a simple case of thinking that I can't let this horse go on back, given how much I thought of him last season when he's got optimum conditions and it's the Easter visit York. Surely they'll have him prepped for this.
Okay. Well, did Ryan mention anything about Oxted, TC, just while we're on it? Has he spoken to him about it? No, okay.
No, because he hasn't picked up the phone yet.
I imagine he's on the
way to Windsor, either sleeping or looking at his rides. I can't give you anything there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it could be that. It's a very long queue. It's a very long queue. He rode Oxted for the first time last time, didn't he? And I think Roger Teal said afterwards that, one, the horse may have left his race behind in Saudi back in Feb, serves him right. And the other was that Ryan may have gone a bit too soon, not having known the horse and not ridden him before. But, you know, it wasn't that bad, wasn't it? And if he steps forward from that, he's clearly the one to beat here at these weights. Because I was looking, like Dan, I was looking towards Art Power with the prospect of the rain on Tuesday night onwards. But I was looking for bigger than 7-2 as well, considering Oxted's had a run and you've got horses of potential there like Starman, etc., and some against Kev's old favourite going forward. And I just looked at the race and I just thought I wanted to be with Hot Power, but I wanted to be with him bigger than 7-2 given the opposition and the race fitness elsewhere. So no betting here for me.
Okay, all right. Kevin, strong case from Dan for Hot Power. Who have you come down on here?
Yeah, I've been leaning that way as well myself. Now, not terribly strong, lovely, but he just seems to have things right for him. And you can pick at and throw stones at some of the others. Like, I like Starman. I think he could be a very good horse, but ground would be a concern for him, and it's a season of return. Nahar is one I'd mention at a much bigger price. He obviously was quite spectacular, winning the Air Gold Cup off a mark of 100 last year when there was ease in the ground. You know, I know it's a bit of a jump from winning an Air Gold Cup off 100 to this sort of company. I'd be happy to excuse his return at Chelmsford over 7. It just wasn't his bag. This would be much more like it. And I wouldn't like to forget about him, but even on his best day now, he'd need to find a bit of improvement to get Hot Power if he can produce his best. And things just look to be right for him. So it's not a bullish shout now, but Hot Power, you'd hope, would be capable of going and winning this. Whether he can take the step up and end up being a Group 1 winner, time will tell, but this should be within his reach.
Would you give Brando much of a squeeze with the old walking stick helping him at 49 years of age at this stage, or how would you see his chances?
We've spoken about him a few times this season, and the one thing he'll be on Wednesday that he hasn't been so far this season is a price. Like the last time we talked about him, he was pretty short. You know, and he ended up drifting on the day at Doncaster. He's we know the ability is there. You know, he bounced back and showed that a lot of it is still there on Champions Day last year. It'll never shock you if Brando runs well, but I'd always want to be getting a big price about him, just with all the doubts about him, all the physical issues he's had and so on. Like, he obviously, soft ground is no problem, so it wouldn't be a shock if he ran into the frame at all, and at least he's a big price if you like him.
Lovely. We'll move on, if we can, please, to the 3:10, the Tattersall's Musidora Stakes, Group 3, a mile and two just under that, or just a mile and two just over that. Kev, it's really the clash really between Tiona and Noon Star, isn't it? I mean, like, I don't want to dismiss everything else in the field, but those two certainly make most appeal to my eye. And of the two, who are you going to side with, if indeed you do believe it is a clash between those top two?
Well, it's a right race, this one, Hugh. This will have a big impact on the Oaks, I'd imagine, the Oaks betting. Like, the fact that Mystery Angel is there, who won the Pretty Polly, you know, last week, beat a promising horse in Sea Carrots, you know, is being not quite dismissed by the market, but it is firmly third best next to the two less exposed ones. A little bit surprised Tiona is quite as short as she is. Sea Empress, who beat Tiona first time out, is a filly that I have big, big regard for, and I'm excited about seeing. You know, Tiona was second to her, ran very well, came out and bolted up in Newcastle, but it was just... Like, look, it was impressive. You watch the last few furlongs and you say, wow, look at this Yoko. But there's just signs in the early stages that she might not be 100% straightforward. Like Jack Mitchell was very, very anxious to get her absolutely anchored back to last. And she was good and strong in his hands. Like, and she was impressive in the second half of the race. But, like, she looked a bit of a project to me. And, you know, Roger Varian would have had to have done a big job, and I'm sure he would have done a lot of work with her over the winter and through the spring to try to get her to relax if she's going to stay a mile and a half, which she clearly should based on her pedigree. But geez, she was sparky enough that day at Newcastle now. So that would be a concern for me, you know, coming back here fresh. Will she settle well enough to give herself a chance to show what she can do? Definite concern. Whereas Noon Star, you know, the other big sexy one, to bring out Dan's favourite phrase, in the market, like, she seems much more straightforward to me. She was impressive at Wetherby. She seemed the opposite. She was a little bit behind the bridle, if anything, through the race. You know, absolutely gorgeous pedigree. Obviously, Galileo out of Midday doesn't get loads better than that. Form looks, you know, plenty of winners have come out from behind her. You know, Loving Dream we saw the other day, Sherbet Lemon we saw the other day. I'm surprised she's second fav. There should be there shouldn't be much gap between them, if anything. And for that reason, Noon Star would be the one for me.
And Tony Calvin, are you kind of picking between the top two as well, or do you see something further down?
To be honest, I've got a mission here. I mean, when I looked at this race and I thought Tiona, yeah, that kind of rings a bell. Then I looked in the Oaks market and I was staggered to see that she was a last traded price on the Oaks at the time of recording now. She's her last traded price for the Oaks is 5.8. Tiona is the second favourite for the Oaks coming into this. Now, I know horses do shorten the expectation of a big run in the trial, but as Kevin said, I mean, there's enough question marks about that horse to be backing her at 5-4 in a race like this. Not only is she first time up, but she's meeting last time out winners, race fit rivals in Mystery Angel and Noon Star. You know, Noon Star's form's a little bit mixed, but Sherbet Demon, the fourth that day, has come out since. Mystery Angel showed a really good attitude at Newmarket last time. And, you know, given that if Ryan rides the way he did on Sunday, riding a lot more forward on some of his horses, then Snowfall is now meeting a trip much more in keeping with her pedigree, for all she didn't go on at all from her maiden success last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Snowfall each way at 12s attracted a little bit of support. But no, I mean, like, see, whipping the rain around on Tuesday night, I'd rather just play this on Wednesday when I know what the ground's going to be like. But if the rain did come, then there'll be no hardship to Mystery Angel at all. And if she's 5s, 11-2, then she could be the each way play in the race. But a watching brief for me at the moment.
Okay, so last word to you, Dan, then. It's Noon Star at the price for Kevin. Who do you like, please?
A wider thing. We've not been doing the same, we've been doing it for 6 months, the three of us. You sort of realise, don't you, that whatever prices you're putting them up at a day or 2 days in advance, you're judged on the SP to a large extent. And yeah, at the moment, Tiona, I wouldn't say you go on Lumper at that sort of price, but I did think she looked pretty exceptional at Newcastle. And I would be surprised if this market doesn't correct itself, because there was a lot of talking about Noon Star in the aftermath. Good time. People will cotton on to the fact that Sherbet Lemon won the Oaks trial on the back of finishing fourth in that Weatherby race. But I did think she looked something well out of the ordinary. The debut form was good enough, where she didn't get a clear run behind the Haggis horse, who hasn't been seen since at Newcastle. And that was over a mile, which wouldn't be far enough for her. But then she went up there 3 weeks later, and I know she's threes on, but she gave the runner-up an absolute hiding. And that runner-up has since been... since won a race, not a very big one admittedly, but he's now a mid to high 80s horse on the time form scale. She gave him a stone beating, hard held, probably a bit more than that. I think she could potentially be a top notch middle distance filly, and if the market rights itself and it closes that gap between Noon Star and Tiona, she obviously becomes a bit more appealing. And like I say, it's that age old difficulty of knowing that you're judged on SP rather than what they are the night before. But I'm trying to forecast here that there will be some easing out of her price when people really latch onto Noon Star's Weatherby form, having worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, the price at the moment is quite a difference between the two. Right, we'll move on to the last, if we can, on the card at York, lads. The Conundrum HR Consulting Handicap Stakes, Class 3, 7 furlongs. And the betting is as follows. Rifleman is your 3-1 favourite for John and Teddy Goldson. You've got Huddleton Mack in there at 9-2 for Hughie Morrison. Sadiqa at 13-2. You've got Wob 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 7-1. What a brilliant name for a horse and a commentator's nightmare. Captain Cooper 10-1. And four places in the Betfair Sportsbook. Okay, TC, kick us off, please. Last race of the York card. It's a handicap stakes over 7 furlongs. Who's your money on?
Firstly, I would like to be a fly on the wall when John Fady got the handicapper update that Tuesday morning when Rifleman got put up £7 for unshipping Ryan. Now, I'm not a big fan of these old leave horses that alone are unlucky, but £7, punchy enough, especially when the eventual runner-ups come out and got well-chinned at Chester last week. So, yeah, I mean, like, you can see why he's favourite. He was going to finish at least a good second there, wasn't he? But £7 are punchy enough. No, the one for me is Wob Wob Wob, whose Newmarket form first time up has worked out really well, with Crossford coming out and winning well, and the six only got denied at Doncaster recently as well. Off a pound higher mark, coming back down at 7 furlongs, which is going to be a positive, and on likely softer ground, I think Wob Wob Wob's probably the each way play in here at 7-1, four places. The stable haven't had a winner since February, which is an obvious concern, but they had two finish second at Beverley last Monday. One only got beaten a short head, so that doesn't concern me overly. But Wob Wob Wob, each way 7 places.
I'm tuning into this race, Kevin Blake, just each to hear the commentary on the race. Wob Wob Wob, George Hickey, Red Fascinator, Pivoting, Wob Wob Wob, London Express, Daphne May, Wob 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 Wob. My God. Gonna be out to honest game for that one.
Shame he's not running against Big Bad Bob.
Big Bad Bob, Wob, Wob, Wob. Right. Kev, who do you like?
Yeah, dude, this was the least appetizing race for me now of the lot. I went with Captain Cooper, trained by Kevin Ryan. A good, solid, golden man, would you believe, Hugh? I can see Kevin Ryan's home house out my window here as I sit here talking to you now.
Good stuff. Did he give you? Did he give you a bit of inside information? Did he?
He did not.
Okay.
Yeah, Captain Cooper. He. They switched tactics with him there at Newcastle 2 starts ago, and made the running, and he bolted up. They stuck him in. That was over 7. They stuck him into a handicap for the turf debut at Donny. Stepped up to a mile, looked to repeat the dose from the front, and didn't seem to get home and did too much. So coming back in trip here is definitely what he wants to do. Wouldn't be a shock if he ended up back at 6, but I think 7 should be fine. And with the trip, I'm hoping will make a fair difference to him. I think the ground will be fine looking at the way he goes. And yeah, hopefully he'll bounce back to form here and run a nice race at a double figure price.
Okay, Captain Cooper 10-1, Wob, Wob, Wob for TC at 7s. And for Dan, the deciding vote goes to you.
It's Huddle to Mac for me against Marley State, because you've got to be of a forgiving nature. But I think 88 is potentially the most generous mark in the race, considering he won a Sandown maiden in clear cut fashion, running to a figure on the time form scale of pushing 100. The third horse has boosted that form. The second, the Cody Kid, won next time. So that was a strong minor event. He was made favourite for it on the back of a really promising debut at Ascot, where he split Jumbie and New Mandate, but horses that have clearly advertised that form. And Newbury looked a complete disaster anyway, because he went from midfield to tanking his way towards the front by halfway. I was alarmed by how quickly he stopped, but he had been very, very free through the early stages, and I was inclined to put it down to that first time out. Clearly a significant drop in grade. He's 12-1 to win a Greenham. What is he? 4-1, 9-2 to win this year, a handicap where I think a lot of these, even though it's for 3-year-olds, have had their chances now.
Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, lads, that's the York card done and dusted. We're going to move on to one race in Newton Abbott, if you don't mind, before we leave it for the day. It's the 225, the visit at theraces.com handicap hurdle. So 2 miles 2. And Dan, you can give us your considered thoughts on this just as I try and pull up some of the prices here. So, at the time of writing, Monfrere, is this the right race we've got?
It is, yes, spot on.
Yeah. Monfrere at 10 is your odds on favourite at the moment, 5 to 6, maybe 10 to 11, 11 to 10. On in places here. Fix on for Daryl Jacob. You got Reserve Tank, Black Mischief, Push the Tempo, and Peruvian Blood. So Dan, obviously a short price fab here. Is he worth a stab?
Well, this is, he was always going to be a short price fab. He's a nickel trained 5-year-old who's had 2 starts over hurdles and won one of them. He wasn't exactly a star on the flight. He was progressive for Prescott, but maybe found his ceiling in the 80s. If one horse was going to be overbet, it was going to be him. I suspect I'll have a few quid on Fixed Son instead. Now, he's one of a fair few with doubts. Reserve Tank, I mean, what has he come to after winning back-to-back Grade 1 novices at Aintree and Punchestown? Black Mischief, not been seen for 2 years. Fixed Son hasn't been seen for 6 months. But he's got some form that certainly earlier on as a novice that make you think his mark is okay. The day he was second at Fate and being at a very short price, he should clearly have won. He made a terrible mistake. He's running a big field warm handicap at Cheltenham when he returned with 2 cuts, so you can forgive that. And then he ran in another warm handicap at Haydock. That one won by Warlord, that was full of progressive horses, the Betfair sponsored one. In fact, it was the racing only better handicap, wasn't it? So one of the best and most prestigious handicaps in the calendar. He was midfield in it, admittedly, but he's been freshened up by another break, and I think these sort of conditions will be perfect for him whizzing around Newton Abbott.
Okay, TC, have you a strong opinion on this?
I think Monfrere is the favourite by default, really. I'm not sure that's accurate. It's currently good to soft at Newton Abbott, and if you look at the forecast, they're due about 10 mil before race time on Wednesday, so that would be a question mark for Monfrere, who's never raced on anything like soft ground before. I might have been inclined. I think you can look at 6-1 plus about Reserve Tank. He's obviously been dropped to a mark of 137 that allows him to get his 0-135. If he's anything like the horse he was 2 seasons ago, obviously when he won a couple of Grade 1s over hurdles, then he'll win this. And there was a little bit more promise in his run last time. But, do you really want to be backing 6-1 shots when there's a big week ahead? in a race like this? I suggest not. But I think Monfrere is probably a bad price at 10 to 11 given the weather forecast.
Okay, lovely stuff, gents. All that remains, though, is to get your naps for the day, if you don't mind. Day one of the Ork meeting. We'll start with you, Mr. Kevin Blake. Your nap, please.
Noon Star in the Musidora, please.
Noon Star, good stuff. 2-1. Tony Calvin, your nap, please.
Sam Cook in the opener.
Sam Cook in the opener for TC. And finally, Dan, your nap, please.
I was going to go to Tiona and test this theory, go head-to-head with Kev, that the prices will be much closer and I won't be looking at a really bad short price five. But I won't go head-to-head with Kev. I'll go with Art Power in the 6 furlong sprint under optimum conditions.
Okay, I'm going to go with Tiona because Dan left her out. I'm going to go with Tiona. Short price as well. Hopefully drifts like a barge, but it's still, you're talking about a 5-4. I need a winner on the board, lads. Short price, I don't care. Tiona to beat Kev's pick. That's my nap of the day. Okay, we're back with the preview of Thursday's card as well for Racing Only Better listeners. So make sure you tune in for that. Please gamble responsibly as always. And we'll talk to you then.